Hi, I'm Pastor Carolyn. Welcome to In His Presence, a production of Rapha Healing Ministries, where we bring worship and the Word together so that you may be encouraged and receive revelation of God's healing power emotionally, physically, and spiritually. May it bring transformation to your spirit, soul, and body. These teachings and worship sessions were conducted at various times and various locations. We hope you'll be encouraged and inspired as you hear the truth of God's Word as it is brought to you by Pastor Bill. Now, please join us as the service is already in progress. How many love the Easter season? Christmas is great, but there's something special about Easter. I'm going to sing Lamb of God tonight. And I think about the time when Jesus was approaching John the Baptist. And John the Baptist in his spirit knew who he was. And he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Thank you so much for being with us in our worship service. Now, please stay with us as Pastor Bill brings us the message.
Would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, we thank you this night that we can be here and that we can open up your word. We thank you, God, that you are working in each life in this church. There is a plan and there is a purpose for each person, and you're not here by chance tonight. Lord, we just ask that you would speak to each heart. You know where you want them to be after this service is over. May they be open to all that you're saying and all that you will do. For we ask it tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. When Pastor Sam asked me to speak tonight, he asked that I talk to you about prayer. I spoke to you back in July of 2011 about prayer that changes things. And at that time, he asked me to speak about prayer and where we needed to go as a church, as far as what was it that we needed to be doing so that Victory Tabernacle would be able to grow and we would begin to see change within our church body. Now, it's 2 years later almost, and the message that I gave then is just as relevant as it is tonight. But what I want to do is approach it from a little different angle. So if you have your Bibles with you tonight, would you please turn with me to James chapter 5, and we're going to be looking at verses 13 through 18. James chapter 5, 13 through 18. I'll be using the New King James Version. James chapter 5. James says this, "Is any among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven." James goes on, he says, "Confess your trespasses," or the King James says, "sins, to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it didn't rain over the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. And so what we see here is that James is writing to Christians, he's writing to the church, and he's writing to them because he wants certain needs met. He's seeing here that there are things that are necessary within that body, and he's addressing it. And one of the key elements as you go through these six verses is prayer. You can look through that there, and you will see that at least seven times James mentions prayer. Let him pray. Let them pray. The prayer of faith. Prayer for one another. The fervent prayer of a righteous man. Over and over again, there were certain needs that were there, and they were going to see those needs met through prayer. The interesting thing is that sometimes we were supposed to pray for ourselves. And that at other times, we were going to pray for others. The key, as I said, in all of this was prayer. Now, if you were to go into your Old Testament and New Testament, you'll find that the word prayer or some form of that is used over 500 times. In fact, in the King James Version, it's 540 times for those that want to go looking for all of it. And as we've said before, when we've talked about the life of Jesus Christ, he is our example of a man who prayed because he spent time in prayer while he was here on this earth. You can write these scripture verses down. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place." And the Bible says, "And he prayed." In Matthew chapter 14, verse 23, Jesus fed the 5,000. And after a long day of feeding all those people, because there were more than 5,000, he sends them away. And the Bible says, then when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself and he prayed. In Luke chapter 5, verse 16, we see that Jesus often withdrew to a lonely place. And the Bible says, there he prayed. In Luke chapter 6, verse 12, on one of those days, Jesus went out to the mountainside and prayed. And in fact, he spent all night in prayer. Jesus was a man of prayer. In the in-between times, he would minister to whatever the needs of the people were. And as soon as he finished ministering to the needs of the people, he went back to prayer. And so what we see is that he kind of went from one prayer meeting through some needs to another prayer meeting. In fact, his life, his prayer life was so distinctive that his disciples came to him one day and they said, Lord, teach us to pray. They saw something that they didn't have and they wanted it. They saw that he got answers to prayer where they didn't, or it wasn't in the same measure. They wanted what he had, but they really weren't sure how to get it. And of course, you know what his response was. Jesus then gave them an outline. He gave them a template. He showed them some of the principles on how to pray. And we've talked about this before. We call it the Lord's Prayer. And you can see this in Matthew chapter 6 and also in Luke chapter 11. And there have been many, many books written about this. And Pastor Sam has taught us the different principles involved in those verses. But my focus tonight is not necessarily on things that we may have been taught recently, but I'd like to go back to what James has said concerning prayer, because James shows us how prayer can be effectively used in a church. He was writing to the church, and he said, when you have these things happening, this is the way I want you to handle them. So let's go back to James chapter 5, and let's kind of break down some of the things that he's talking about. James chapter 5 and verse 13. James says this, is any among you suffering? Now the King James says afflicted. If you have an NIV, it says, is any among you in trouble? Let him what? Pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. When James begins to talk about suffering or afflictions or even troubles, he's not talking about sickness and disease. We're not going to get into that until the next verse, and that's covered in verse 14. Rather, James is talking about the troubles of this life. It could be the troubles that he and those he was writing to were suffering because they were Christians in a non-Christian world. And there was persecution. And there were those times when things would come against the Christians. But it could also be for those that were in that flock that made poor decisions. They made bad choices. And suddenly now, life just kind of happened. Things, the consequences began to fall down upon them. And Jesus said that in this life there was going to be tribulation, troubles, and sufferings. But you also remember what he said too, that he'd overcome the world, and because he had overcome them, so we can also. We can too. But what I want you to see is that James says, is there sorrow? Is there trouble? He wanted you to pray for yourself. For you to pray for yourself. James says that the way to deal with this is for the person who is going through the problems, they should pray for themselves. It's our responsibility to pray for ourselves. People have called me up on the phone, and they said, Pastor, would you pray for me? And I've said, sure, I'll be happy to pray for you, but have you prayed? Well, Pastor, aren't you the one that's supposed to pray? I said, well, yes, I do, and I will. But the Bible says that there is a part that each of us has, and we are to pray for ourselves. It's our responsibility. Now, this can be a prayer of petition for our needs, but really what I think James is saying to us is this. Look, I want you to learn how to have a relationship with your Heavenly Father. And the only way that you're going to learn how to do that is by praying, by coming to Him with whatever it is. Because James wanted everyone to develop a relationship, coming closer to God, being in His presence, so that the Father could speak to them and they could then speak back to the Father. This is what Jesus did. When you begin to look at his life, he went to his Father, and the Bible says that he talked things over with him. He was in his Father's presence. He had fellowship with him. And really, that's what prayer is. Prayer is just fellowshipping with our Heavenly Father. So let's go back to James 5, but only now let's go to verses 14 and 15. James says, is any one among you sick? Now what he's referring to here is physical sickness. There was physical sickness that a person had, and he said, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And then in verse 15, and the prayer of faith will, the New King James says, the King James says shall, save the sick, and the Lord will or shall raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Now, if a person is physically sick, there needs to be a different protocol, as it were, that's followed. The person who is sick shall or should call for the elders of the church, and they, referring to the elders, would then anoint that person with oil, and they would pray over that person something called the prayer of faith. They would anoint the person with oil, and when the Bible talks about that, not only is there oil that is anointed, and there are some people that believe that they would take the whole thing and pour it on top of somebody's head, at least that's what they did in the Old Testament, but they would also lay hands upon a person, and they would then pray for the person through the anointing of oil and the laying on of hands. And all of this was done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. James says that the prayer of faith will save. Now, some of your other translations have this. The prayer of faith will heal, restore, and make well the sick person. If you go into the original text, the Greek word that's used there for save is a word that you've all heard. It's the word sozo. And when you look that up in a lexicon or any kind of a word study, you'll see that it means saved, it means healed, it means delivered, and it means made whole. There are four things that are all wrapped up in that word, sozo. And all of these things are contained within the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they are a part of our salvation. Those are your rights. That is what He has done for you and me. He has provided healing for us. He has provided salvation for us. He has provided deliverance for us. And He is there to make us whole in every way. And so when James begins to talk about this, he says that the prayer of faith will sozo the person, will save the person. He begins to say that now suddenly we're going to be reaching out and receiving the rights and the things that Christ has already purchased for us so that now we can go lay hands upon those that are sick and begin to see things change. Now, what is the prayer of faith? Well, let me begin by explaining what it's not. I believe that it's not a prayer asking God to heal the person, and then at the end of it, there's a tag that kind of gets put on there, if it be thy will. That's not the prayer of faith. any prayer that ends with that is not the prayer of faith. And in all warmth and everything else I can say to you, if you're praying like that, stop it. Stop it, because that's not the prayer of faith. That's a prayer of unbelief. If it be thy will. The Bible that you hold in your hand is the revealed will of God. And it says very clearly in there that we have healing provided for us through the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you may not believe that, but it still doesn't change the fact that that's the truth. For me, the prayer of faith is found in Mark's Gospel, chapter 11, verses 22 through 24. So turn with me to Mark, chapter 11, and let's look at what Jesus said there. This is a very familiar scripture passage. Many of you can quote it without even looking it up. It's a time when Jesus is giving instructions to his disciples, and he said this, "Have faith in God." Some other translations say, "Have the faith of God. For assuredly I say to you, whenever you say to this mountain, 'Be thou removed and cast in the sea,' and you do not doubt in your heart, but believe that those things that you say will," and the King James says, "shall be done," he will have whatever he says. "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them." When you pray, you believe that you have them, you shall have them, you will receive them. The mountain in this instance is this sickness. And we come as elders, as people within the church with the authority and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we come and we say, no, we're not going to permit that. We are not going to allow that. We are going to see a change come. Mountain, take a hike. Get out of there. We're not going to permit you to stay. We are to command it to be removed and healed in the name and by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the King James Version says, "Things shall be done." That is a definitive statement. I don't really like what the New King James says because it says will. No, it shall be done. It is a statement. It is an absolute certainty. Now, I can say that because I've spent many hours studying what the Word of God says. And for some of you tonight, you may not believe that at all. But again, it's what the Word of God says. These are words from His mouth to us so that we will know what His will is concerning these things. I don't have to wonder whether it's His will. The Word of God already says it is His will that by His stripes we be healed. I remember one time going to the hospital once. It was over at MCV. There was a phone call that I received. There was a mother who had he wasn't a teenager, but he really wasn't up. He was a young man. And he had been in a terrible automobile accident. They lived east of Richmond, and they either flew him in or brought him in because of the trauma that he had experienced in the automobile accident. And so she asked me to come and pray for him because he was in pretty bad shape. So I went down to MCV, found his room. He was in ICU. And met her at the door to the room or where he was. And as I stepped in, there was another man there who was also in that room. And as I walked in, I found out that he was another pastor from a mainline non-Pentecostal denomination. And he had known this young man when he was in the youth group at his church when they were living back over east of Richmond. And so the pastor had heard about this. He came to see how the young man was and found that he was in intensive care. And so now we have two people that are there that are supposed to pray for this young man. And I'll be honest with you, I was very uncomfortable because I knew enough about the theology of this pastor's denomination to believe that he would never pray the prayer of faith. And suddenly now I was kind of looking at this, and so I was not bashful or shy about this. I immediately jumped in and started praying, to the best of my ability, the prayer of faith. And I commanded his body to be made whole. I commanded the broken things to be mended back together again. I commanded infection to be released off of his body. I asked God to raise that young man up, take the tubes out, all of the things that were there, and just literally raise him up off of that bed. And after I got done, I was kind of praying, and typically I will pray with my eyes open. But that day, or afternoon, I didn't dare look at that other pastor, because I was afraid that I would probably see that he didn't approve of what I was doing. And so I just kind of focused on that young man, and as soon as I was all through, I said, amen, and he said, amen, and out the door I went. Now, let me tell you the rest of the story. 3 or 4 days later, I got a call from his mother. And she told me that the day that I was there, later that day, he was released from ICU. Things began to change, and he was released from ICU, put into another room. And then 3 or 4 days later, he came home from the hospital, and he was going through rehab. I always wondered what that pastor thought when he found out and heard that the young man had been released within 3 or 4 days. Because it isn't anything about me. Jesus said, have the faith of God, or have faith in God. For verily I say to you, that whosoever shall say to this mountain, this broken body in front of you, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and doesn't doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. And when I saw that broken body, my Father can fix that. Your Father can fix it too. But you've got to be able to see it. You've got to be able to look at that and say, no, mountain, you're leaving. Because I have the authority. I have the name that is above every name. As I said, this isn't a thing about, hey, look at me. But rather, James says in verse 6:16 of chapter 5, the effective, fervent prayer, the prayer of faith of a righteous man will avail, it will accomplish, it will produce much. And that was a demonstration for me that we can go in and we can speak the word of God. And even though I didn't see him take the tubes out and jump up out of bed, I spoke the word. I said, be healed. So let's look at this statement that James says, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails or accomplishes or produces much. A righteous man or woman refers to someone who has right standing with God. Because we are born again through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, he has made us righteous. Now, I may not feel that at times, or I may do things that somebody could look at that and say, well, who is he? But the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he who made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Pastor Sam was talking about, do we know who we are in Christ? You are the righteousness of God. And therefore, in James' prayer, he said that the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman is going to avail much. So we have no excuse to say, well, I'm just not qualified. Oh, we are. We are more than qualified because of what Jesus has done for us. You and I are righteous in God's eyes because of Jesus. Now, because we are, we can come to God the Father and have a relationship with him. And out of that relationship with him, there can be a fervency. There can be a hunger to see his will done on this earth. God wants his will accomplished on this earth. You know, the Bible says, as in heaven, so on earth. He wants to see things happening down here. It's not just for the great by and by. We are here for a reason. You're here for a reason. James brings his teaching to a close when he begins to mention about Elijah. And in verses 17 and 18 of James 5, James says this, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it didn't rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Now, if you were to go back into the Old Testament, you'd find that this is a story that's found back in 1 Kings chapter 18. And the story given to us by James is rather quick and short and lacks a lot of the details. He kind of took some of the high points. What James is basically saying is that Elijah prayed that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't. And then suddenly he prayed again, and it did, and it rained. And yet there's much more to the story. The story in 1 Kings 18 takes place after 3.5 years of drought. Ahab knew that it was Elijah's prayer that had brought the drought. Elijah was a marked man. There was basically a bounty on his head. And so suddenly in 1 Kings 18 verse 1, we see that God said, I want you to go and stand before Ahab. I want you to show yourself to him. But he didn't stop there. He said, and when you do that, then I will make it rain. So we see that Elijah then does what God told him to do. But of course, as you read the whole chapter in 18, you see that there were some prophets of Baal and Mount Carmel, and there was a sacrifice and fire from heaven, and there were a whole bunch of things that Elijah had to take care of first before he was able to really stand before Ahab. But when you get through all of that, and then you come to the end after all the prophets have been killed and all the miracles have happened, suddenly Elijah kind of looks around, and there's no rain. It hasn't started to rain yet. And so what we see is that he goes to the top of Mount Carmel. And the Bible says, and he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees. In verse 43 then of 1 Kings 18, verse 43. And said to his servant, go now and look toward the sea. See, and so the servant went and he looked up and he looked around. He came back and he said, there's nothing. And 7 times Elijah had him go and to look. And finally it came to pass on the 7th time that he said, there is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. So Elijah said, go, get up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. And now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with the clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. And it rained. It hadn't rained for 3.5 years. The amazing thing is, in 1 Kings 18, verse 1, God told Elijah God would send rain if Elijah would go and show himself before Ahab. And Elijah did exactly what God said, yet it didn't rain. And so what happened? Elijah goes up to the top of the mountain. And he began to pray. Remember, true prayer is a relationship with the one that you're praying to. True prayer is a relationship with the one that you're praying to. And I can just hear Elijah now. God, you said that if I went before Ahab, you would send rain. God, there isn't any rain. Your word is true, God. You can never lie. God, you even sent fire down from heaven at my command. God, you consumed a soggy, wet sacrifice, and even the rocks were vaporized. God, you can do anything. Anything. God, send the rain. The Bible says that Elijah prayed 7 times. Now, Elijah knew his God because he had spent time in prayer with him. And he had faith that if God said it, he knew that it was going to happen. Just like the prayer of faith. When the prayer of faith is prayed, it's done. It is finished. It is an accomplished fact. Even though you can't see it, even though I can't see it, it is done. And you account it as done and walk away. And yet Elijah learned something, and I think we should too from that time. God said that it was going to rain. But when did it rain? It wasn't until after Elijah petitioned him and brought God into the picture. Then it rained. God has a plan and he has a purpose, which can only be described as, I mean, when you look at what happened in Elijah's life, there was labor, there was travail, there was fervent prayer, there was intercession, there was petitioning God to send the rain that God had already promised back in 1 Kings 18:1. One of the most important lessons for us tonight is that when God purposes a thing, his method is to do it in relationship with us. This is a co-laboring. We co-labor with him. We are in a relationship with him. It is a labor of prayer together. There are times when you will pray the word of God, and there are other times when he will give you what to say and you pray that out. I mean, whether you hold your Bible and speak that, that's the same as him giving you things and you also speaking it. It's the same word. Understand something here. There are things that God will not do without you and me. And we cannot do without him. There is no better place than this is demonstrated in the arena of prayer. John Wesley said this, God will do nothing but an answer to prayer. So, Pastor Bill, what does all this mean for me? I mean, how am I to relate to this? I come to church, I pray. You want me to pray? What does all this mean? Yes, I want you to pray. We are called to prayer. We are called to pray. And as we do that, then God will use us and lead us as we pray. But if we don't pray, guess what? Nothing happens. Nothing happens. Now, please don't say, I'm not called to pray. You are. So just take that out of your vocabulary. I'm not called to intercede, or I don't know how to pray. Well, let's look at that last one. I don't know how to pray. Can you talk? Well, yeah, I can mumble something. Well, that's fine. That's all you have to do. Then you know how to pray. You can speak out what he says to you. You can take his written word and speak what he has already promised. Because God's word is full of power. And it will change things. You just got to believe that. And hold on to that confession until you see it happen. We sing about revivals. We want to experience his manifest presence in our altar services. We want to see the lame walk and the dumb speak and the blind see. We are told that we will do greater things than even what the Lord Jesus Christ did. But let me ask you a question. Are you willing to pay the price? I remember one day I was in seminary out in California, and there was a person who was, for want of a better term, they were demon-possessed. I mean, with a capital D and capital P. And I saw this person, I said, God, I know that you can set them free. Lord, what do I have to do to set them free? And the Lord has a sense of humor, I guess, and he spoke a very short sentence to me. Are you willing to pay the price? You ever had one of those sinking feelings? All of a sudden, God, what does he mean by that? I wasn't sure. But it caused me to pause because there is a price. There is a price to see the Spirit of God come. There is a price to walk under the anointing. There is a price for all of these things. And if you and I think that somehow this is going to fall out of heaven, that's why we're still waiting. Because it hasn't come, because we aren't doing our part. He is more than ready. He is more than willing to pour out His Spirit upon us. Are we then willing to pay the price? Are we willing to do what Jesus did? Are we willing to go aside and pray and fellowship with Him? Are we willing to do this even after a very busy, hard day of meeting everybody else's needs, to somehow now slip away and spend time with Him? Remember, Jesus fed the 5,000. He was tired, I'm sure. All of those people. And yet, He sent His disciples away and He went up into the mountainside so that He could be with His Father. Prayer is both the easiest and the hardest thing to do. Yet, when we tell our flesh no, and we then yield ourselves to the Spirit of God, we are going to be able to feel the heartbeat of God. We are going to be able to know those things that are so important to Him. We are going to be able to hunger, as it were, and thirst for His kingdom to come, because He desires to see His kingdom on this earth. And He's going to bring it through you and me as we hunger and thirst for Him. We are people of righteousness. And we can take His name and the power that He's given to us. And we can change not only our lives and our families' lives, we can change our church and this community. But it's up to you and me. What are we going to do? Before I close this, since I have some time, I would like to have Pastor Carolyn come, and I'm going to ask her to sing a song over us. And then after she sings that song, I'm going to ask for you to come up in front, because I want to pray. I pray that you will tonight make a commitment. It isn't to me or Pastor Sam. It's to Him. That by the grace of God, you will do what you've been created to do. And you will have such joy doing it. You'll have such pleasure doing it that it won't be a burden. It will be a true joy. Pastor Carolyn?
God, He is Emmanuel. darkness there, there's only when I'm on my knees, I get on my knees, I get on my knees. There I am before the Lord, the change. I don't know how, but there's power when I'm on my.
Would you stand with me, please? Would you come on down? Because my desire is that God will create in your heart tonight a hunger, that you'll be satisfied with a dissatisfaction. You will see things happening, but you will know that that there's more. There is so much more. And it's not something that your neighbor or spouse or somebody else can give to you. It's with you and him. Pastor Carolyn sang that song, I get on my knees. There I am before the love that changes me. There's one thing that happens in prayer is that if you get up off of your knees and nothing's happened, you weren't there long enough. You need to stay there until something happens. Because that's the relationship that he wants. He wants so much to speak to every one of you. But we're so busy. There's this and that and the love of our life just wants us to spend time with him. Another part of that song was, see, I don't know how, but there's power when I'm on my knees. I don't know what all that you're going through, but I know this, that if this church is truly going to be what God has called us to be, there will be individual time when you come before your Lord and Savior, and he speaks to you. And from that place of intimacy, then you come corporately and as one heart and one mind, we begin to speak and the foundations of hell tremble and the gates of hell cannot prevail against what you and I are praying because there is a power, there is authority because we've been in his presence. But I can't make that commitment for you. Only you tonight and in the days ahead, you can make a commitment tonight, but what will you do tomorrow or the next day or when there's an urgent need that comes or something has to happen? Will you persevere? Will you say, Jesus, I can't do it? Because guess what? You can't. I can't do it. But as I yield to him, day by day, moment by moment, he can bring me into that place where we can have that sweet fellowship that is necessary to see all of our lives turned upside down. Pastor Sam mentioned about the power, the anointing that was in the bones. You've got it too. You have the same Holy Spirit. Now what we're going to do is increase and release what's there. And it comes as He knows that He can flow that anointing through us. Do you understand that if He gave us everything that we asked for, it would probably destroy us because we wouldn't know how to handle it. And so as we come to that place and the baggage falls off and the things in our life fall off and everything goes to the side, then He can trust us with more and more and more. And even your shadow as you walk through the supermarket will bring healing to those that are there. If He did it with Peter, He'll do it for you. He's not the respecter of persons. But it's up to us. And I'm not here to condemn anyone. I'm just saying, we cry for it. We say that we want it. Now are we willing to pay the price? Would you bow your head, please? Father, I ask tonight that as Your people are here, You know what's in each of their hearts. You know, God, where they are with You right now. So I'm asking that You would increase the hunger in each life. God, I pray that when they leave this place tonight, that this message will keep coming back and coming back. And even if You have to wake them up in the middle of the night, so that they would spend some quality time with You, alone with You, God, then do it. Give them the rest that they need. But Lord, we're looking for relationships. We're looking for deep, meaningful relationship with You. Because You love us more than we could ever know, ever imagine, and ever truly be able to experience. And yet, God, we ask that You would speak tonight to each person. So, Lord, as I run my hand over their head tonight, may the Spirit of the living God go out and touch each heart. May each person be touched by the Lord Jesus Christ. May there be an anointing here for this body to pray as never before. Pray and see things happen. Work in their hearts, God. Protect them from all the wiles of the enemy. For we ask all of this tonight in Jesus' precious name. Amen. If you have the interpretation, please speak it out.
And I saw thee when thy head was bowed in despair. Now I shall lift up thy head, and I shall strengthen thee in thy weak places, and shall build thee up in my presence. And thou shalt go forth in the name of the Lord, and I shall do exploits through you. If you be faithful to me, if you seek my face, you shall hear my voice. Seek thou the Lord, and He will visit thee.
Amen. 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 Now, I believe that there's another part. Does somebody else have something else? I may be wrong, but I just sense that there was another part to that.
The Bible would say, come, get in my lap. Enjoy my presence. Be still. I know what you need. I know what you want. Just as your earthly father would take you on his lap and say, what can I do for you, sir? What can I do for you, God? So your heavenly Father desires that you would take the time to sit in his lap, to sit in his presence. Just enjoy him. Take the time. Take the time. Make the time to come
and be in my presence, says the Lord. And when you do, I can't refuse you. I can't refuse you. I want to do for you. My desire is to answer your prayer. My desire is to be to you what you cry for. But just take the time. Make the time. And I'll be there for you. Oh, Lord.
Amen.
These altars are open for all of you that are able to stay and take the time. Spend it with him. If you have to go, we understand. But sometime tonight, tomorrow, and the days ahead, take the time. He desires to be with you. Now may the Lord Jesus Christ, let me close with a benediction. Our benediction is on the side. And let's do 2 Corinthians 13:14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Thank you so much.
Here in your presence, we are undone.
Hi, thank you for listening to our program, In His Presence. Our prayer is that God has spoken to you as you were in His presence. We hope that you will listen again. If you have heard something that has been a blessing to you, please tell others. If you would like to have Pastors Bill and Carolyn speak at your organization, please contact us through our website. If you would like to help support Rapha Healing Ministries, please go to our donations page on RaphaHMI.org. All donations are tax deductible. In His Presence is a production of Rapha Healing Ministries based in Midlothian, Virginia and Jensen Beach, Florida.